Be quiet like God is alive. How could I keep it? Just steal. Holy Spirit, you're free to come in this place. Lord, we are here for you this morning, nothing else. Lord, we ask that your presence is with us today. Lord, we are gathered here in your name, we believe. Lord, I ask that your presence is with us in such a strong way. Lord, that once again, remind us of who you are. That you're not just some religious idea, but you are the true and living and only God. You are the God who saves, the God who meets us right where we are, the God that picks us up and binds up our wounds, the God who heals us. Lord, we invoke your presence to be here among us today. Lord, to do a work that only you can do. Very simply, to be here with us. Lord, as we worship your name and we praise your name, that it's not only pleasing to you, but Lord, it is our offering of a sacrifice of worship so we can be close to draw you in. Lord, the fellowship of relationship is what you desire. You right where you are at, where you're sitting, to invite the Holy Spirit to come and have some time with you today. He'd speak to your heart, comfort you, maybe in certain ways to challenge you, to remind you again that he hasn't left you, he hasn't forsaken you, that he's right with you in all things. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. So before we sing this last song this morning, I encourage you, why don't you just raise your hands up and speak some praise from your own heart to him this morning. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. For you are wonderful and you are good, and there is no other. For you are high above all things, above all principalities, all powers, all governments, all authorities. You are high above. You are creator, all powerful, all knowing. Therefore, we worship you today. Lord, that our hearts are open to you. Simply do what you want, have your way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Oh, Jesus. Simply desires to draw you in and draw you close. To grab hold of you like a father grabs hold of a son or a daughter. To be with you. and in his goodness to wipe away every tear and cleanse every sin. To impart the wisdom of life. That you begin to live in the assuredness. That's what he's doing. That he won't let go. Lord, I thank you for being such a good God. So wonderful, so true, and so just. I thank you for that. For all the good things we can find in this world, there's nothing that compares to you. Nothing. Nothing at all. Lord, if we sing one more song and worship you today, that our hearts are united together as a people that you call your own. As a people that are consecrated to you. As a people who we've given our hearts over to you. And your response to us today it would be incredible. Marked moment today. I thank you for being with us. Oh, Jesus.
You're worthy, you're worthy, To you are all would, just go around and greet some of your family of faith.
Well, good morning. Well, welcome to Only Believe. It's good to have you today. And it's a beautiful day outside today. Beautiful day. That was a good day yesterday, too. But it's good to have you this morning. We're going to take up tithe and offering. So if you have something to give today, offering envelopes or in the chairs in front of you, you can grab one of those and fill it out. If for some reason there's not one there, the ushers have them. Wave your hand around. And the ushers also have prayer cards. We'd love to join in faith with you in prayer. So if you have a prayer need, grab one of those, fill it out, get it to me or one of the ushers, and we will be praying over those things. So how many know that we believe in prayer? Amen? And we believe in prayer because God is a good God, and He hears our prayers. That's why we take time to pray. We pray first. We are a pray-first church. So it's good to have you. Let me pray over your tithe and offer. If you have something, you can bring it down to these baskets here on the platform. Lord, we praise you today and we worship you in our giving. And giving is part of our worship. We honor you with our finances as we honor you with every area of our life, Lord. And the things that you do with the finances that come into the church are done with stewardship and wisdom. It's for your kingdom. And we thank you for the faithfulness of the givers of the house, Lord. And that giving turns around, it benefits them, Lord, but it goes beyond that, Lord. And we thank you that you are doing above and beyond anything we can ask or think or even want with what comes in, Lord, because of the giving. Not only here in the church, but in the lives of those who give. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. Come on down if you have something to give today.
Well, good morning. We're excited to have you all with us today. If it's your first time here or you have not filled one of these out, we would love to just get to know you a little better. They're located right in front. I'm ringing.
Oh.
Says too close to Kylie. Sorry. Maybe. But if you fill these out and then just give them to Kelly here, she's got a sweet baby. We have a small just thank you for coming. And there's also a pamphlet in front of you that just gives a little more information about our church and what we're all about. And also one announcement for kids, church, and youth. If your child is going to be going into the fifth grade or kindergarten in the fall, June is our move up month. So we're excited. I know my daughter is super excited that she gets to start coming to youth. So she's being shy. So if your kid is going to kindergarten, they're going to move from the pre-K room to the children's church class. And then if you're going from fourth to fifth grade, you will switch to youth. If you think they're still want to be in kids church and they'll do better there, that is also okay. So it's up to the parents' discretion. But we're excited to see them move on to their spiritual journey and learning more things that are appropriate for their age.
Thank you, Samara. A couple more announcements is don't forget next Sunday is Joy Fellowship. And they meet 5:00 in the evening. It's for the older crowd of our church. But anybody can go, bring something to share. If you have questions, see Bill and Patsy, wave your hand around. Also, this coming Saturday is the women's coffee get together. That's at 9 a.m. this coming Saturday morning. So don't forget about that. Also, VBS volunteer sign up and help. And that's back at the back table. Go ahead and sign up. VBS is to the end of next month. We always need lots of people to help us out with VBS. So please sign up at the back for that. Also, there's a board back there. You guys have taken most of the post-it notes, but there's still some back there. And what that's about is if you grab a post-it note off that poster board, it's a donation item for VBS. All you got to do is bring that in the beginning of June, and they can collect all their supplies for VBS and get ready. And also, for those that are volunteering for VBS, there will be a meeting about that, I believe, on June the 9th, right after church. So mark that down. Also, June the 2nd, we have a kind of a small group, kind of a teaching class happening called Interviewing 101, and that's after church. Justin is the guy that's heading that up. It's for those of you that simply want to learn how to better put together resumes or what to do in the interviewing process to help you in those. Those of you who are looking for promotions or things like that. It's just about helping you get after some goals and things that you have in life. So if you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet at the back table for that. Or you can go ask Justin some questions about that. And last announcement for today is the Sycamore House fundraiser. We actually have a little video about this. So Nehemiah, if you'll roll that, please.
God creates miracles from small beginnings. A seedling becomes a home for birds. 5 loaves and 2 fish fed the 5,000, and your coins and dollars added to a baby bottle saves lives. Partner with our annual baby bottle campaign. You can fill a bottle or give online. Because every coin, dollar, check, and online donation gives hope, offers help, and brings joy. On their behalf, we thank you.
All right, so what that's about is these baby bottles are at the back door as you leave today, and what they're asking is the little things that count that God can multiply what you bring in. And Sycamore House does a wonderful work in our community, helping ladies that are facing difficult choices with pregnancies and things of that nature. And they're just asking you to take a baby bottle, fill it with change or bills if you want to, and bring it back here by Father's Day. Then we'll turn these into the Sycamore House. And it's a part of their yearly fundraiser they do to keep their operations going. Things like this cost money. Amen. And the services they provide, they're nonprofits, so they're not out there making money to make their business go. They rely on donations to make Sycamore House happen. And this every year, and the churches in our community play a big role in that. So grab one of these today if you haven't. Bring it back by Father's Day, fill it to change. And I guarantee in your car, you could probably at least get here. In the cushions of the seats of your house, you probably can get here, right? Then if you raid your wife's purse, you can probably get here, right? And then, yeah, I'm sure you can find it. Anyways, participate in that, and that will go a long way. You know, a lot of times when you do that stuff, you have no idea the impact you're having.
and you participate in these things, and God takes these things, and you don't know the lives of the ladies that are being touched through something like the Sycamore House, that your change helps make those things happen. Amen? All right. Well, if you got your Bibles, get them out. Matthew chapter 18. I'm excited to get into the Bible with you today, as I am every week. Let me see who brought a Bible today. Let me see if you brought your Bible to church. Hold them up. Oh, good. I'm glad you're Bible bringers. I know we put the stuff up on the screen, but I'd love for you to have your Bible with you and to walk through the scriptures with us. We'll get to Matthew chapter 18 in just a minute, but we are, man, I think 4 or 5 weeks into a series on the kingdom of God. And I know I got another week or two left of this series. I've been enjoying this series. I hope you are too. We've been talking about what the kingdom of God is and how the kingdom of God operates, how it functions. And what's the reason why we're talking about it? Because the kingdom of God is the subject that Jesus talked about the most in the Gospels. Either directly or indirectly, he addressed the kingdom of God very consistently through parables and things that he taught. And the nature of the kingdom really is, definition of the kingdom of God, what God is doing in our world today is simply the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom not of this world. We think of the word kingdom, I think it's maybe outdated for us, the nation of God or the people of God, if you want to put it that way. A kingdom not of this world is making its way in this world, but it goes in this world in a different way than simply the systems of our world operate. In other words, this lost and dying creation, God loves it and desires to save it. So the kingdom of God is the prayer of Jesus that he teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. It is God rescuing and reclaiming his lost creation. That's what God's up to. That's what God is about. And I'm excited about that because it should capture your hearts. And I say the word excited because it should capture your hearts that God loves us that much. To capture your heart. It's me. We've been saying this a little bit recently. Let me keep throwing this at you. If you can just grasp hold of how much God loves you, it will change your life. Change your life. But he loves us in such a way that he has gone out of his way to do what is necessary to rescue and reclaim his lost creation, that big picture, right down to each individual. That's what he's about. That's what he's up to. So we've been talking about what this looks like, that the kingdom of God is at hand, it's here. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God grows. The kingdom of God, because it grows, it does bring a distinction for those that are growing in the kingdom and those who are not. Now, there's an aspect of the kingdom of God that I want to get at with you today that's very important to how the kingdom of God goes forth in the world. So Matthew chapter 18 and Nehemiah, I just want you to go to verse 15 real quick. I want to read that one verse and we'll jump up to verse 21. So Jesus talking here, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, and it says this: if your brother sins against you, full pause and stop right there. How many of you have ever had somebody sin against you? Anybody? I think probably everybody in the house. I know I have had somebody sin against me. Okay, but let's turn the table. How many of you ever realized that you've sinned against somebody else? As many hands just go up. Okay, just wanted to clear that up. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. And what's the next word there? Alone. We could say the prayer and just leave right now. My brother sinned against me, so I'm gonna tell 4 people over here about it. I'm gonna post something very passive aggressive on Facebook about it, and then if I feel like it, I'll go say something to them. How about we forget the 4 people over here If you can't control your social media, delete it. Then do what the Bible says. And go talk to the person. And the amazing thing about it is, and what happens often, is if he listens to you, you have gained your brother, because in the sin, there could have been a breaking of relationship. There could be something happened to bring separation, but now you gained them back. Now, there's some further instruction here. If they don't listen, now what? And all this different stuff. But it leads up to verse 21. Let's jump up there. And this idea of talking about forgiving other people, then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, remember when Jesus was talking about what it means to love your neighbor? And there's always a back question to these kind of things. You're supposed to love your neighbor. Somebody wants to ask, well, who actually is my neighbor? Because we really don't want to love everybody. So we want to start to qualify this love, right? Peter kind of bringing up this point, okay, yep, we're going to sin against each other, but how many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Now, I think Peter, in this moment, he felt very super spiritual, because watch what he says. As many as 7 times? I think he felt he was throwing out a nice big number there. Look, I'll forgive somebody who sins against me a few times, but man, after a few times, I have a right, because of how they're treating me, to stop forgiving them. I think that's what Peter's getting at here. But I think he felt he threw out a nice big number there. But Jesus said to him, watch the reply. I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And there's some translations that should translate that 70 times 7, which is 490. The point is not, okay, what are we going to do with that translation? Is it literally 77 times, or is it actually 490 times? So now I'm going to keep a secret whiteboard in my room. I'm going to start tallying. And because, just because I need to stand up for me, we're going to go with 77 times. Forget that 490 part. But when you hit 78 times by my tally, you're out. Forget about it. You've crossed the line. That's not the point. Jesus is throwing out a big number here because he wants you to catch this idea that forgiveness should be really, literally unlimited. Now, when we come across things like this in Scripture, we have to be really, really honest. And what is really honest about this is that this is hard, and it doesn't seem fair, and you wonder where the justice is in that. Now, we're not talking about whatever you consider somebody doing something wrong. When somebody sins against you, sins, that brings a qualification there. This is somebody who's doing something absolutely immoral, incorrect, unmerited before God towards you. How many times should I forgive somebody who acts that way towards me? Unlimited. Put your little whiteboard away. Don't keep track. See, when we see these things, this is hard. Now, whenever I have to talk about forgiveness in the church, I always throw a caveat in there, and this is this. Listen. Forgiveness, and there are certain situations we have in our life. Forgiveness in human relationships doesn't always mean that we remain in absolute reconciliation in relationship. In other words, I can learn to forgive somebody, but not have to remain. In other words, an abusive relationship, yes, it's hard, you learn to forgive, but it doesn't mean you stay there. See what I'm getting at? So there are certain things you have to look at with wisdom in these things, but here's what I do know about forgiveness. Forgiveness will let you out of the prison of your past. Forgiveness will take a burden off of you towards somebody else. Actually, forgiveness will allow God to be the one, and he will bear the burden of justice, not you. And what I know about forgiveness is when people learn how to forgive, especially the hard stuff, it evokes maturity in your life. But because forgiveness is hard, we often don't go down that road because A, we know it's hard and we don't want to go through the process, or B, we don't want to forgive them. We want to be able to hang on to it and hold that grudge, or because it doesn't seem like justice is happening right here, right now, I'm going to hold on to it till I think some sort of justice happens. But see, what we find about the Christian life is this. The way of being a Christian within the kingdom of God will absolutely, on certain level, challenge us. And when you follow Jesus with the entirety of your life, you will be challenged, and it shows up in things like this. That there's a call to learn how to forgive. And because of who we are, and because of our situations, because of things that have happened, a lot of stuff isn't fair, and you didn't deserve. Let's be honest. There's some things that happened in your life. You dialed that thing up. Your fault. But there's a lot of stuff that happens in your life that's not your fault. But the challenge of following Jesus is he wraps up all of the experiences of our life and he says, listen to me, there is a way to live as a citizen of a kingdom of God who is rescuing and reclaiming a lost creation, and this is how we do it. Now, as Jesus often does is, he goes in, he tells a parable in response to this. So, who is my neighbor? He tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, what about this whole forgiveness business? Jesus tells a parable, and Jesus is a master storyteller. So, verse 23. Therefore, notice he's, that connector word. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared. Now, Jesus is drawing this forgiveness into the kingdom of heaven. Again, that's interchangeable with the kingdom of God. We can say it like this then. Therefore, how God is rescuing and reclaiming this lost creation may be compared to a king. And this king wished to settle accounts with his servants. One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in our day, in our money, that's a few million dollars. So he brought to somebody who owed him several million dollars. Verse 25. And since he, the person, could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. In other words, that's just a few hundred bucks in our day. He found a fellow servant that owed him a few hundred dollars. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused, and he went out and put him in prison until he should be able to pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servants, I forgave you all of that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had the same mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? In his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. There's a challenge in living within the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God rescuing and reclaiming his creation. And Nehemiah, if you'll throw that first slide up for me, please. The kingdom of God is built upon forgiveness. Amen. God is working in our world, and he does it through the avenue of forgiveness. The only way to the Father is through Jesus, and a big part of that reconciliation of relationship is forgiveness. There is no kingdom of God in our world. There is no rescuing and reclaiming of this world without forgiveness. You think about that. See, in the parable, this man owed several million dollars to his master. He ain't got a portion of that, and he knows it. And here comes the debt collector, brings him before his master. Knowing he doesn't have anything to give, he pleads with his master to forgive the debt. Can you imagine? How many of y'all have some debt? We have a mortgage payment and a car payment. That's the only debt we have. But I can imagine if I went to the bank and said, hey, bank, would you just happen to have in the good graces of your heart today to forgive my mortgage payment? And they just look at me and say, you know what? That's a great idea. I'll do that for you. Can you imagine the bank just clearing off all your debt? Can you imagine? That would be like the most amazing day. We would be going out to eat, booking our next trip to, I don't know, man. We would just be like, woo, I mean, debt's gone. Isn't it, how many of you ever paid off a debt? Isn't it an amazing feeling when that debt's paid off? To know that you don't owe that bank or that person or that organization any more money and what it frees up in your life. This guy owed several million dollars. Not like filling the baby bottle with your change, millions of dollars. And the master looked at him and said, you know what? You are debt free. And in those days, it was common practice, if you couldn't pay your debt, that you would go into a form of slavery or bond servantness, that all the money you begin to own under that contract would be paid back, and you were in slavery, so you paid it back. Common practice. Not only did he have his debt forgiven, but the prospect of slavery was erased from his life. That's absolutely amazing. This is how the kingdom of God works. It's built on forgiveness. And this good and amazing and loving and merciful God looks at you and erases your debt, a debt that you have no way of paying. That's what he does. He looks at your life, he knows you better than anybody else, and he still forgives you. Because you simply cry out for mercy. That's incredible. The kingdom of God is built upon forgiveness. But then, as the parable goes, he turns right around and he demands payment from somebody else. Not a few million dollars, but a few hundred bucks. Literally grabbing him and choking him and demanding payment. So it is with those who receive the mercy and the favor of God in your life by clearing a debt that you can't pay, then turning around and holding unforgiveness over somebody else. You see that? See, if the kingdom of God is built upon forgiveness, and you want to get in on what God is up to in this world, you simply have to learn how to act like him in this world. See, there is a big, big, big question. And it has big implication. And it's going to be on the slide. Nehemiah, that next slide. Here's the question. What are you doing with what you have received? And that's the question of the kingdom of God. What are you doing with what you have received? Because not only does the kingdom of God work on this, but how the kingdom of God then begins to go through the world is connected to this. Let me tell you something. When the Bible says that we're to be a light in the world, right? Shine for other people to see. It involves you sharing the gospel and telling people about Jesus. But then there's also a connection to it, as Matthew 5 talks about Jesus saying this, that they may see your good deeds. This is right connected to being light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That they may see your good what? Deeds, your actions, and praise your Father in heaven. Let me tell you how you have good deeds. What are you doing with what you have received? That's where it shows up. That part of you being a light in this world is by, and this is the way you can think about how the kingdom of God works. That whatever it is you receive from God, that you turn around and go out into your life and whatever your life entails, and you give what you have received. That's how the kingdom of God works. How many of you have ever received something from God? Let me see. Yeah, everybody in this room. What did you do with it? Well, that was nice. Thank you, God. That's amazing. You've changed my life. Well, amen. But now what? Did you go out into work, family relationships? And whenever you get out into work and family relationships and living your life, guess what's going to happen? People are going to sin against you. You show up to church, I hate to say it, and somebody may sin against you. Right? What are you going to do? You have received from the Lord. He has canceled your debt entirely, completely. When you go out, now what are you going to do when somebody sins against you? Keep your tally board? You only get so many chances with me. Oh, you know what? I'll forgive sins against you, but that was a big one. That's a double portion of sin. I ain't forgiving you for that. You see, I'm getting at. You receive and you go out, and then you are to give what you have been freely given. This is the challenge of the Christian life. And listen to me. This is how the kingdom of God goes throughout the world. This is how God is rescuing and reclaiming his creation. This is how it happens. Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, Matthew 6. My fault. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. Jesus teaching us how to pray. He was asked, how do we pray? Well, here's how you pray. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's drawing out of the manna stories of the Old Testament and the people of Israel in the wilderness. Watch this. And forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins. But notice how Jesus just didn't stop there. Now there's an add on there. As we also have forgiven our debtors. You see that? And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Jesus, in teaching us how to pray, says, yes, forgive us our sins, but hey, just like it, hand in hand with it, what goes along with it, I will forgive those who have sinned against me. Can't separate the two. He goes on to actually go back to that point, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why did this come across so harsh? Because you don't want to be like the servants who had everything cleared from his name and turn around and demand it from somebody else. You miss the kingdom of God when you act like that. You are trying to take advantage of the mercies of God in your life. And God's not having it. See, the kingdom of God is not just about what you receive. Wonderful, you do. But the kingdom of God is intended to change you into being like him. See, when we say that God is rescuing and reclaiming his creation, it doesn't just stop at the fact that, well, now I'm saved because he's forgiven me. I'm saved. He's rescued me. But listen, part of the reclaiming of creation is now then how you act. Yes, God's rescued me, but reclaiming me means he's reclaiming who I am and changing me. And there's growth. And why in the world would I work at forgiving somebody in this? Why would I do that when they treat me that? Why would I do that? Because I have met God. And God has done something for me that I find nowhere else in this world. I've met him. And because I've met him, there's something new about me. And I will begin to act in a way that I would have never thought possible before. That I will start to learn to treat other people as God has treated me. And by the way, it doesn't stop at forgiveness. Why in the world would Paul write something like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, what? And say, okay, if you want to keep in step with the Spirit, this is going to grow in your life. What's the big deal about love, joy, peace? Why would I even consider being that way? Because that's who God is. And I am to go out with what I have received and learn to give it. When God is love and I receive his love, then I turn around and I give it. When God is joy and I receive his joy, I turn around and I give it. When God is peace, I receive his peace and I go out and give it. When God is kind, I receive his kindness. And it's changing me. This is the reclaiming of his creation. I'm becoming like him. There's another passage in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Go one chapter over. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Here's something about the goodness of God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened for you. How many know God is good? And we rely on verses like that to know that God is good and he will respond to us. For which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake instead? If you then, who are evil, listen, you're learning how to be good, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, in some of your Bibles, they put headers within the text. In a lot of your Bibles, there may be a break there. And right below that, it says the golden rule. How many of your Bibles have that break right there? Anybody? Okay. And then verse 12. It kind of separates verse 12 from above it, but they go together because that word so. So, watch this. So. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do to them also, for this is the law and the prophets. That goes with what we were just reading. So we say, okay, we know that God is a good God, and he will ask whatever we ask of him. He'll respond to whatever we ask of him. And if we ask for bread, he's not going to give us a stone and so forth. And you treat your kids that way, right? But then right away, Jesus turns it right into about other people. So, if you want that from God, then start to do to others as you would have them do to you. You want to receive from God, hey, whatever I ask, you respond to me. That should translate into, look, this is how the law of growing, sowing, and reaping works. Do to other people as you want them to do for you. And that comes out of the fact that God is good in how he treats us. See that? The things of the goodness of God never just stop with you. You should be a conduit into the world that needs him. The challenge of the Christian faith. That God is doing a work in this world. Now, here's what I know. Everybody look at me. You are supposed to be a part of it. Is that correct? You are supposed to share the gospel. You are supposed to be led by the Spirit, right? There are times that power is going to show up when you pray for somebody. The gifts of the Spirit show up in you, right? You know what Paul said about that? 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, okay, that's all wonderful, but if you have not love, it's all for nothing. That's what he said. You can desire to be used by God and do all this amazing stuff, okay. But if you have not love, it doesn't mean anything. So in other words, the foundation for being a light in the world is what you have received from God. And whatever you then turn and go do in the world got to be founded with what you've received from him. That is being changed by what you have received. Don't take advantage of what God affords you. How many know that God loves you more than anything else? How many know that? Don't take advantage of it. How many know that God has forgiven you to the depths of the darkest corners of your life? Don't take advantage of it. How many know that you're working out your salvation? God has an abundance of patience with you, right? How many know that every time you come back to God, he receives you with mercy? Oh my goodness. Don't take advantage of it. And the reason you won't is because you give it to others. The way that God treats you, we must grow and mature to give to other people. That's the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. We'll close up today. So let's think about this in a couple different ways. First, let's go back to this forgiveness for a moment. If you have situation in your past where you look at that specific situation and say, Lord, I'm okay with forgiving this stuff, but I really struggle right here. And it happens. I want you to understand something. There is nothing in the scripture that we as followers of Jesus are called to do that if you put your heart to it, that the Holy Spirit will not help see it through. He is the one that helps these things grow and happen in our life. And that one thing, I'm telling you, that one thing I believe that you will grow into a place of forgiveness in that, not because of you, but because of the Holy Spirit. He will help you if you let him. If you're willing to let go and let him. If you remove the need to have the grudge. If you remove the need to see payback. If you let it go, you let those things go, the Holy Spirit will help you. Does that mean you're going to feel like it? You did tomorrow and you want to, no, but the act of forgiveness, I forgive them, Lord. opens the door for the Holy Spirit to do what you cannot do. Give it to him. He will help see you through. Amen. They don't have to sit there and wonder, well, did I really forgive them? Is God withholding forgiveness from me? It removes all that from your mind. You just simply forgive. I don't feel like forgiving. Forgive. I'm not sure I can. Forgive. See what I'm saying? And let God be God. Okay? Does everybody understand? Secondly, let's be about growth. Let's be about honest evaluation with the help of the Holy Spirit. Where I am receiving from God, where am I falling short in giving? And let him start to lead your life. And again, that sounds hard. The Holy Spirit's with you. He's going to see you through. To be the light of the world that you're called to be. Amen? Okay. For a moment here, if you have what you feel like unforgiveness in your heart, I'm going to give you just a second here, just a moment, to bring forgiveness to that situation and forgive that person or group of people or whatever it is. Whatever you feel like there's a hang-up. Just feel like it's just sitting in your crawl, man. Just can't get rid of it. Just right now, maybe it feels just like mechanical almost. Lord, I forgive that person. In your heart, say their name. Lord, and I forgive that situation. And Lord, I trust in you that you're going to help me through this. And I trust in you that everything that needs to happen will happen. And I trust in you that you're going to tie up all the loose ends. I trust in you. And simply by just professing this forgiveness, to allow the Holy Spirit to continue healing in your life. Lord, for those that are forgiving others right now, Lord, I pray that you do a miraculous work in their life. That there's a release from this. Yeah, Lord, we know the scar may always be visible, but you will eventually take the pain away and bring healing. You're going to grow them and mature them in that specific place. Even somehow, some way, you're going to reap what you didn't sow. I thank you for that. But we don't pray these things to trivialize anything that anybody's been through. Not to do that at all, but to say that you are God. And you can do all things. I thank you for that. So Jesus, do work. Do work among us. I thank you, Lord. But there may be some of you that know somebody that they just quit on church because of a hurt they've received in a church somewhere. Speak life to them. Yeah, the church isn't perfect people, but we got Jesus. Jesus is with us. That's why we keep coming. And the best place to learn how to forgive is in the church. Speak life to those people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Tell you something for a second. I promise I'll close up. When you encounter somebody in life and they're just giving the business about something and they're complaining and they're mad and they're hurt, if you want to speak life to them, tell them to talk to the person and bring forgiveness with them. You sit there and listen and join their complaining and moaning and groaning, and all you're doing is solidifying the fact that they should be hurt and have a right to stay there. Yeah, we hear from our friends and our the close people. Yes, that I can't believe you went through that, but let me tell you what God can do. Right there, you just spoke life. Let me tell you what the scriptures say about this. You constantly point back to, listen, if there's anything you find in the Bible that's life-giving, it's that word forgiveness. My goodness. There's life in that word. And you always speak forgiveness. Yeah, oh my goodness. But let me tell you what Jesus can do. And what he can do for you in this. But it involves you doing something too. How many know what I'm talking about? You point people back to that. Amen? Amen. Lord, I praise you for our time together today. I praise you. Before we close up, is there anybody in the house today? You're hearing about this wonderful forgiveness of God, and you've never asked God to forgive you your sins. You're like in your sins holding millions of dollars, and there's no way you can repay it. Anybody here want to ask for forgiveness today? Anybody? Raise your hand real quick. Anybody? Anybody in the house? Okay, anybody else? I saw one hand slip up quick there. Amen. Anybody else? Here's what I want you to do. Everybody at your seat. I'm not going to lead you through a prayer, but what I want you to do is simply say this, Lord, forgive me. Just tell him, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Just tell him. And simply by asking, just like that parable, God wipes you completely clean. He makes you whole. He puts all things behind you. Thank you, Jesus. And to know right now, just by asking, he's given you a fresh and brand new start. But I pray that those that ask for that right now, Lord, that you solidify in their hearts that they're forgiven. They believe it. But Lord, going forward, that the Holy Spirit is leading them and guiding them, and people around them begin to encourage them, and wisdom is brought. I thank you for it. Long-term discipleship, a life following you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand clap today. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray blessings on everybody as they go today. Bless them as they head out, Lord. Let us go forth into the world with your kingdom impact for you. For your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. All right, have a wonderful week. We'll see you Wednesday, next Sunday morning. Be blessed as you go.